I think people really need to get their mindset around being flexible and approaching things we've never seen. I've had a lot of people email me, approach me, mention in our different webinars, I need a protocol for this. You need to stop waiting for that and go back to basics and kind of turn that switch in our heads, because that's what's required when something that no one has ever seen shows up.
Bringing on two of the ladies who were instrumental in creating PACER, the PACER project from the American Physical Therapy Association. Now, again, that stands for Post-Acute COVID-19 Exercise and Rehabilitation Project. Many members of the APTA bringing their expertise to a litany of courses that will help clinicians navigate the COVID-19 crisis and what comes after it. We bring on Angela Campbell and Sharon Gorman, presidents of the APTA's cardiovascular and pulmonary section and the acute care section. We go over each of the courses and what you'll be able to get out of it. And by the way, these courses are free in the Learning Center at APTA.org. All of them are free, whether you are a member of the APTA or a potential member of the APTA. We had some great drinks with Sharon and with Angela, and we give you a great episode to help you tactically navigate COVID-19 right now. Episode is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it in clinical practice. Yeah, Johnny Owens and his team, one of the presenters on the PACER project, Johnny lending his expertise on how you can use BFR in your post-COVID physical therapy treatment with your patients. So check them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pinecast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Next episode of PT Pinecast starts right now, a special Corona edition of the show, bringing on, this is only the second time we've had two presidents on the program at the same time, Sharon Gorman, president of the Academy of Acute Care Physical Therapy, and Angela Campbell, president of the cardiovascular and pulmonary section of the APTA. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Hello. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo as we record, and the first question is always the hardest on this show. What are we drinking?
You got to go with the natural. You got to go with your good old-fashioned margarita right here.
You are so classic.
On the rocks.
Very
so
classic.
I'm drinking something called a tequila ghost.
A tequila ghost? What is...
Tequila, Pernod, and a lemon. And I'm shaking it up live.
You guys are way fancier than I. I'm going with the Corona on Cinco de Mayo. I figured, you know, why not just embrace this whole thing? And unfortunately, that's what brings us together. But fortunately, we're brought together. And that's the, I think, the good message about what we're going to talk about today, which is the PACER project, which is bringing about several components of the APTA. We had Johnny Owens and Larry Cahalan on the show not long ago talking about blood flow restriction and what their module was and was going to be for the PACER project. Let's go super high level. PACER project, for people who don't know the acronym, who's taking credit for that?
Angela.
Well, I can't take all the credit. And I heard Johnny and Larry did a great job with that. You know, it really all started with some misinformation that I was seeing on social media about people thinking you had to get back into acute care doing chest PT and percussion. And I reached out to a friend of mine and we started to think about what kind of education we could help to provide to clinicians. And then I was talking to another friend, Ellen Hillegas, who's also been on your show. And I'm like, we have to have some kind of mnemonic. We have to get people excited. I need more people to say yes to this project. And I'm like, post-acute COVID. And then she just yelled out PACER. So the post-acute COVID exercise and rehabilitation. And that's really where it started.
I think, first of all, are you guys familiar with PEDRO, Physiotherapy yeah. Evidence Database? We did something with one of their anniversaries recently where they found papers from around the world and had a lot of the readers vote on which ones they liked. And every time I interviewed one of them, and it's European and Australian, they all have really cool acronyms for their papers. You can't forget them. LipSmack was one of them. How do you forget that?
You got to reverse engineer it, though.
That's smart. But I think PACER fits. It's not too much of a stretch. So yeah, again, yeah. Post-acute COVID-19 exercise and rehabilitation. I think the idea behind this is exactly right, especially in, I'm using air quotes on a podcast, which isn't great, but in this day and age when so much information and misinformation, as you led with there, Angela, can get around the world before the truth has a chance to get its boots on. So good on you. I'm not paid by the APTA to say this, but I think it's a great example of why our profession needs an organization like the APTA to bring together all these different things to make sure we're doing it right. So the Pacer Project is what? First of all, it's a cool name, but what is it?
So it's really a series of courses, but it's really moved beyond, I think, just Pacer. It's really about trying to prepare clinicians who don't typically work in intensive care units, who don't typically work in acute care, to get them ready to meet the demands of the number, the sheer volume of patients that are going to be showing up to clinics, not just in the coming months, but probably in the coming years with some kind of impairments from COVID-19.
Yeah.
I think the other really cool thing about it is, you know, a lot of the time, I mean, there's a lot of skills if you're going to be successful in an outpatient practice. And I'm saying that as somebody who works purely in inpatient acute care. But if you're not used to seeing people as functionally low functioning, this exhausted, this poor endurance, if that's not normally in your wheelhouse, you're probably going to be very confused about what you can even do. A lot of the time, PTs might think they can't even do anything, like, oh, you're just too sick, come back when you're better. And it's like, no.
You're the way I get better.
Filling that gap for those people, I think.
Yeah, I think that's important, right? And that's what the components, the academies, the sections of the APTA, the APTA as a whole, really provides is the ability to gain access to people who are experts in this vast span of where PTs can practice. You know, I've spoken with therapists like Leslie Walke, who's an oncology physical therapist. And she says, if you don't consider yourself an oncology physical therapist, well, you're going to see, chances are, someone who is living with or has gone through cancer. So you need to be a physical therapist and be open to that. That's sort of the parallel that I thought I saw here, which is, yes, you might not be inpatient, you know, might not be cardiopulmonary, might not be acute care, but we're going to be see this as a profession. Mention this with Johnny, and I'll throw it to you guys as a question. This feels to me, I wasn't alive during the polio epidemic when our profession 100 years ago next year really stepped up and became a profession. This feels similar to that to me.
Yeah, I've got gray hair, but I'm not that old, but I have the same perception. I had the pleasure last week of being able to give a short commencement address online to the graduates from the Ohio State University DPT program. And that was exactly one of the things I said was, you know, I think this is going to be a seminal moment in PT, and it might not change everyone's PT career, but it's going to change physical therapy, much like all of the returning people with amputations after World War I started our whole entire profession here. And then after everyone with polio in the 40s and the 50s really transformed it. I think this is going to be a big moment of people realizing how important rehabilitation is after you leave a hospital setting.
Right. Which is why we should run towards these people that are going to need our help and not say, I'm not come back when you're better and then I can help you. But that's what Pacer does, is it prepares people who might feel ill-prepared in a lot of different areas. And I'll throw some of these out just so the audience has a concept and start to visualize it. Just so you know, we'll put the link to Pacer and all of the components, which, by the way, how much does this cost? How much do people have to pay to get access to this?
Well, I think, you know, that was one of the first things that really was important. And when I was trying to start to recruit people to do these courses, everybody was adamant that these had to be free, and free not to just APTA members. So we worked with Bill Boissonnault and Linda Hawk from the APTA, from the Learning Center. And we said, you know, I've got this model. I've got at least these five people signed on. I want to push it forward, but can you make sure that these are going to be free to everyone? And they said, absolutely. And they've been great about it.
Yeah. Important enough. It shows you how important this is that we're saying, and the people who are designing these modules and these courses are saying they're donating their time and effort and expertise.
The other big thing is all the people doing all these presentations have donated all of their expertise because they understand this is an incredibly unique situation we're finding ourselves in, and we can't be building walls when what we need to build right now is bridges.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of these courses. I'll just go from top down. COVID-19 special physical therapist consideration. That's Heidi Engel Talk a little bit about that. What can people take away from that one?
So that one's a lot about her boots on the ground experience. As you might know from the news, San Francisco was one of the cities hit first, maybe not subsequently the hardest, but hit first. So it was really important for people to sort of learn about what happened first. And so she, you know, was involved with some of our other webinars that was done with acute care. And so we've thought it was important to get that perspective. And so that's the main gist of that one.
There's some really good takeaways in that one about how to get ready for a surge, whether or not it's going to happen, you still need to be prepared.
Right. And as we're seeing, in the news reports that the Spanish flu, if we're comparing this to that, that the second wave was actually more deadly than the first. So I don't think we're over preparing. I don't think we're late. I think we're preparing with the right information as soon as we can get it. A couple, three cardiovascular and pulmonary courses, Steve Tepper, anatomy and physiology. Steve actually taught me cardiopulmonary PT school.
Steve has been absolutely amazing. When I approached him, you know, the first thing was, this wasn't really a thing when I started with some of the first people like Steve, and he already wants to do an update because he's like, everything happens so fast, so new, everything, you know, changes, and I feel like I need to do over. And he's reached out to the WCPT, the World Federation for Physical Therapy. He's reached out to other countries where he's done teaching. He's just so excited to get this information spread as widely as possible.
So he's going to go with the basics and what we know in terms of anatomy and physiology with patients recovering post-COVID. More cardio and pulmonary examination, Morgan Johansson.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the big thing was that since, as you know, this is caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus, so the severe acute respiratory virus, that the cardiopulm systems are hit hard. So it seems like a lot of clinicians might need a little bit of a cardiopulm boot camp. And so that's what you get with the examination with Morgan.
Going through it from the basics, and that's what you need to know. Let's see. We've got cardio and pulmonary medications. Yeah, the pharmacology coming into this as well.
Yeah, and again, just a chance to do some update. So that's going to be John Lohman and Mike Tevold. And so that one's still in the works, but that one will be coming your way. So again, getting people ready to go.
Vitals are vitals, vital signs, exercise prescription, oxygen devices. Ellen Hillegass, she's been on the show before. She's leading the charge in this module.
That's yep. going to be a really important one. If it's been a while since you've worked with somebody with pulmonary issues, I think that's going to be a key for a lot of people.
Here's a term that came up. One of the first episodes we had covered with the COVID situation was PICS, post-intensive care syndrome. Jim Smith going to be involved in that one.
Yeah, and there's a really timely paper that PT Journal just turned out like ahead of print. It was supposed to not come into print till the summer, but they bumped up production. So the unedited final version is available online. They just did a podcast with Jim and Patricia Otake, who's also an author on that paper. And they've been talking about PICS for 5, 6, 7 years now. And it's nice to see that everyone else is now concerned.
Right. This is why we study this stuff. This is why that people have their little niche in science, because sometimes like this, it becomes very, very important to have this. Chest PT and other airway clearance technique. Andy Downs. I feel like proning was like that first thing that was going around on social media, which, what is this? How do we do it? Who does it? And all of a sudden, physical therapists were saying, we know how to do that. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So actually, Annie Downs was the first person that I approached about these courses. And I'm not even sure that PACER was the term for it yet. But she was a big influence in my life and mentor at the University of North Carolina. She's written pretty much all the textbook chapters on airway clearance and has been big in that in the cystic fibrosis world for many years. So she was sort of a natural when I was seeing some of that misinformation. I said, Annie, can you help me get a class together to really go through the fundamentals? And I think the big thing was, as PTs, we're trying to get out and help and just want to put our hands on people, but it's really thinking about doing the right thing for the right patient at the right time. And yeah. So that's what that one's about.
That concept of essential is really key, I think, even in inpatient. You know, is this something that maybe the nursing staff can handle, or are they so overwhelmed that they can't handle it? Or do they need a lead person who's a PT who's advising them?
Right.
Versus being the hands, boots on the ground right there. And that's all going to depend on how overwhelmed your particular facility is.
Well, I was talking with Kyle Ridgway in terms of how many times a clinician, no matter what area of practice, enters the room. So if someone's in the room and a physical therapist can guide or talk from a phone or from behind glass, in Kyle's case, at his facility through a window, let's limit those touch points and those contact points. So is that within a PT scope of practice? Absolutely, to instruct and educate.
And I got some pushback doing that with a few patients that I saw. And it, you know, just having the discussion with the nurse, you know, am I really essential? If I go in there and I do that, I have burned one set of PPE for that one person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then their faces would all change and they'd go, oh yeah, that's true. You can totally, I'll bring in the little translator iPad and you can just call me and I'll walk through it and you can watch from the window and then we'll decide if you have to come in the room. And it was like, yes.
Yeah. In fact, the webinar that was hosted by Acute Care just this last weekend featured a team from Johns Hopkins, and they were really big at using the term transdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. So thinking beyond interprofessional, how can you actually have overlapping roles? How can you really trust each other? And that's a big part of especially the acute care management, but thinking about how you can really trust each other to help support each other's functions.
That's a good point. If we're learning about all these different PACER programs, we probably all also should be starting to pay attention to what other healthcare teams, what other professions are doing, just so we can better understand it. And hey, how can we help? Talking about airway clearance, posture, breathing, ventilation, Mary Master, you guys are going after the big guns there.
Yeah, absolutely. I went big. I mean, this was like my dream team. You know, you have your your draft, right? This is the draft of my dream team. So Mary absolutely was a great one to be there.
It's the draft of your dream team. And you didn't have to worry about scheduling everyone because they know this is so timely that it wasn't like, oh no, that'll take 5 years to get all these people to do this.
And you know, they're not traveling right now. So, you know, they're home and they're focused on this. So we're all looking and rowing in the same direction. Inspiratory muscle training, blood flow restriction, rehabilitation training with Larry Cahalan and Johnny Owens. We talked about that in a previous episode just a couple days ago. Pam Bartlow and Naomi Bauer, outpatient pulmonary therapy.
Yeah, so that's another one kind of thinking that, you know, right now, COVID-19 is not an approved diagnosis for traditional pulmonary rehabilitation. And especially as we have at least provisional approval from Medicare to treat these patients through telehealth, that we're going to be taking on a lot more of that traditional pulmonary rehabilitation role. And so that's what they're going to really talk about, that, you know, kind of really pulmonary training that you usually associate with that crowd.
Outcome measures, cardiopulmonary outcome measures. It's time to make sure you know what you're measuring and measuring accurately. Talk about that one.
So Kristen is still working on that one, and I owe her a follow-up because kind of beyond PACER, the next thing that we've done really across sections is working on a core set of outcome measures in post-acute COVID. And I think that's really the next stage, is we really want to start thinking about what kind of outcome measures we might want to do, but really also looking across the spectrum, because right now I think payers are going to be good about paying for patients with these impairments, but we really need to justify why they need physical therapy in the long run and make sure we get paid for it.
And that work group is already charging ahead, reviewing literature. You know, they picked through that PICS article to see what they were recommending, you know, so they're already well on the way of trying to find some core outcome measures that'll work across all continuum, and then maybe some specific ones depending on what somebody's biggest impairment might be.
And that's been really a challenge too, because, you know, now on top of what you would normally do, things like the 6-minute walk test would be your typical sub-maximal gold standard, but you can't do that because of infection control reasons. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, we'll do it after we leave the hospital, but if they're going to home care, you can't logistically do that walk test.
And you can't even do that on telehealth very easily.
Can't do it on telehealth. And at the same time, if you're back in an outpatient clinic, you still don't want to have a lot of cross patient traffic. So I think we're trying to, you know, think about what kind of things can you do within a 5x5 room if you need to.
And I know the Academy of Acute Care, one of our representatives is Kirby Meyer, and he's been involved at the University of Kentucky with a post-ICU rehab group for a while. And that was one of the reasons we kind of got our hands on him and said, hey, do you want to work on this outcome bit? Because you've got a little bit more experience of seeing a lot of these post-intensive care patients later on in their, you know, trip through health.
Looking at special populations, this is one that when COVID originally hit, we were saying this is a population we don't have to worry about. Pediatric considerations.
Yeah, so Ashley Parrish did that. So she has a lot of experience with pediatric cardiopulmonary and is also a respiratory therapist by training. And it has been so unique to see how children, in a lot of ways, aren't affected, but when they are, they present differently than adults. So I think that's really important for people to understand.
And really timely, there was just an article today with a case series of like 12 or 15 children and all the different presentations they had.
Right.
That were not what we've been hearing about in adults.
Going to the other end of the spectrum, of course, geriatric considerations as well.
Yeah. So that's Suzanne Greenwalt, and she did that in conjunction with the APTA Geriatrics. And again, really kind of looking at, obviously, age is a risk factor for COVID-19, but to think about some of the special considerations with especially the older adults.
Home health considerations, that's Ken Miller.
Yep, that's Ken Miller. That's Ken Miller and Melissa Bednarik, and they're both heavily involved with the home health section. And Melissa is also part of our board with the cardiovascular and pulmonary section. And so they really took those home health competencies and layered that on top of with some of the infection control that you need to do in the home. And so, again, they've been really charging forward with that one.
And finally, on the list, and this is just current, I'm sure there's going to be some things added to it, music therapy, and that's with Donna Fraunfelter.
Yeah, so Donna Fraunfelter, she's doing that actually with one of her daughters, which is going to be really fabulous, but that's been a sort of a subspecialty area. And I think, you know, we have to see, she hasn't quite created that one yet, but she has presented on that topic at Combined Sections meeting in the past. But you know, really one of the things that we're seeing that's also in ICU survivors, but even more so in this population, is the amount of anxiety and depression and PTSD they might have because they don't get to have family members in the rooms. Everybody comes in looking like an alien. They're on these sedating medications that can distort reality. And so music therapy can help with breathing and ventilation, but can also really help with, you know, the spirituality side of things and really, you know, getting some centering to the patients.
That's a look at the roster right now. And again, you mentioned it's available at the Learning Center on the APTA website. It is free for members of the APTA, and we call them potential members, future members of the APTA as they as people come towards the association for value like this.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago. That was the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide. New Step now continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit, another innovation in recumbent cross trainers for physical therapists, delivering real-time biofeedback with this piece of equipment, letting you use it in meaningful ways for awareness of physical performance, goals, identifying and correcting deficits or imbalances. Take a test drive or find out more at newstep.com. That's N-U-Step.com. Online at newstep.com.
This is the PT Pinecast.
Do you want to improve your skills as an orthopedic physical therapist? Do you want to practice at the top of your profession? Have you ever thought about earning your orthopedic clinical specialist certification? Well, imagine how great it would feel to go into the OCS examination feeling confident and prepared that you'll pass on your first attempt. If you were given a plan that was simple to follow, if you were given lessons that were easy to understand, and you were given sample tests that sharpened your skills. However you're comfortable studying, the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy's Current Concepts course can make you more prepared and confident for the OCS examination. But it can't help you unless you take the first step and make the investment. And today is your chance. Go to orthopt.org and take the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. That's orthopt.org and the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
A phrase that that you guys wanted to talk about a little bit in the Pacer Project is yes and. That comes up in improv a lot. One of my favorite phrases is yes and. How does that come into play with Pacer and all these different modules?
I think the big thing is, you know, again, while we kind of got stuff started in cardiovascular and pulmonary, we brought acute care, especially, and really quickly. And we've been meeting every week. The section presidents have been meeting every week, or their representatives, and we just really want to make sure that we're keeping those silos, you know, down, and that we're really working together. And it's a time for our profession to really step up and not just think about, you know, what are the hindrances, but how can we move forward? And I think that yes and has been really important. Every single person that we've been talking to has really been, you know, yes and, what else can we do? What's next? What's more?
Angela came to me really early and said, I have this idea. I have, like, I think at that point it was like 4 courses, and it was like, we need to do this. And I said, great, because my group really wants to do all these Saturday webinars, and we don't want to do cross purposes, and we don't want to step on each other's feet. And at the very least, we want to be complementary to each other so that things are building instead of, you know, butting heads. And I think that's been a really nice, refreshing thing, because we've got our little Saturday webinar calendar through the end of this month, soon going into June. And we've been really careful that, like, oh, you guys are doing something on proning, we'll do a shorter one that's maybe more handouts and really quick and dirty just for people who are doing it, not all the physiology, because you're already covering that. And really making sure that the stuff we're doing is complimentary, fast, free, and given by experts.
Yeah. And the other sections are really starting to, you know, while some of them maybe don't have the existing expertise, they do know their membership, so they can think about what they want. So a couple of the other upcoming PACER courses that are in development as well is on pelvic health. So that's with the Pelvic Health Academy. And then sports, orthopedics, and private practice have been working with one of our section members on one called the Nuts and Bolts for Outpatient. Really, how do you operationalize this with the outpatient physical therapy clinic?
Yeah, be very, very tactical. Everybody's looking for tactical advice right now. What do I do? How do I modify this?
Yeah, and we're trying to develop kind of a little easy Google-based kind of cross-contamination information, because we know that's not always forefront in the minds of people who work maybe in home health or an outpatient. That's just not the way they're used to thinking about things. So, like, you're going to have to consider, like you were mentioning, Angela, how are you going to arrange your gym so you don't have people running into each other? How are people going to check in and check out? Do they really have to sign something? Because if they touch that pen, somebody has to put on gloves and clean it and then throw those gloves away and then wash their hands. And that all takes time. So, you know, could you give out more electronic forms so that people can do them on their phone or on a tablet, and then you still have the data, but they're just touching their own phone? Have you considered how your scheduling is going to have to be different? Because you're going to have to clean everything that person touched, wash your hands before you can even get another patient into a space, even if it's a private treatment room. So just, like, considerations that people maybe haven't thought of. And then some guidelines on equipment, because a lot of outpatient clinics I know probably don't have a pulse oximeter. That's going to become a key piece of equipment. Absolutely. For a lot of these patients.
Yeah, you mentioned just touching a pen and points of contact. The organization I get a chance to work with, Fox Rehabilitation, we're using electronic visit verification based on GPS data. So our older adult patients don't have to touch a pen just for that very one less touch point. Does it matter? Yeah. In the large scale, it does matter. And if we can make it a little easier, let's do that. If we can make it a little safer, yeah, let's definitely do that. So I think you guys are bringing up some great points. I think the roster that we just went through for PACER is a great place to start. And when was this inception? When were the couple of drinks with Ellen Hillegass when you came up with PACER? I want to see how fast it came from idea to right now, because that's a long list.
End of March?
Yeah, it was late March. So it was, if I was going to guess, March 23rd. I mean, you know, now it's Cinco de Mayo. So it came quickly.
Just the vast amount of information to put it together that fast. I mean, if you've dealt with any sort of conferences, you know exactly what that sort of is in terms of organization and logistics. Putting that amount of content together in a little over a month, like, well done. Yes, and that's great.
Yeah. And I think it was just everybody just ready to step up, because as soon as we kind of handed them the ball, they took it and ran. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of micromanaging of these people. And that was part of why it was important to go to the people that you knew were, you know, really already some of the leading experts in that area, and getting them involved from the start.
Last question for both you guys, and you guys, well, want each of you to answer from your point of view. and it's complete crystal ball. Where are we going next? You know, what's the next thing that we should be paying attention to as a profession or as one single therapist sitting here listening? What are some things we can do to prepare besides, I mean, a gimme is go on and take advantage of all the resources in PACER, but what are some things coming down the line that you're looking towards as presidents of components of the APTA?
I think people really need to get their mindset around being flexible and approaching things we've never seen. I've had a lot of people email me, approach me, mention in our different webinars, feedback from PACER programs. I need a protocol for this. This is new. There isn't going to
be a protocol.
You need to stop waiting for that.
Yeah.
And go back to basics. You know, really good exam, really good tests and measures. You're going to figure out what the person's actual problems are and then interventions to address those. I almost think sometimes some of our new graduate students are going to be a little bit better at dealing with this whole entire crisis than some PTs who are really used to just practicing the way they do because they have a lot of experience and they know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think those of us that maybe have gotten into those habits need to go back to basics and kind of turn that, switch in our heads, because that's what's required when something that no one has ever seen shows up.
Yeah. Flexibility. I think you're right. You don't go into battle with what you need. You go into battle with what you got.
Yep.
So keep that in mind. Angela, what do you think? Something coming down the line that people should pay attention to?
Yeah, I'm just going to have to go off of Sharon a little bit. And the two words that keep being used with this pandemic are unprecedented and unpredictable. And I think if we can keep that in mind, then we can, you can lay out all kinds of plans and strategies, but you just have to be willing to pivot. And, it's part of why I said some of the people have already saying, wow, gosh, I did that a month ago and it feels out of date. And I think the next thing is really to set up good research. You know, right now we're getting a lot of just case reports and a lot of even physicians are learning from each other through Twitter. But we really need to get some good research. We're trying to get a special edition, for example, of our journal and looking for those submissions now. But it's really trying to get some of that. You know, we're looking at core outcomes, but how can we collect those to really quantify what this is? And I think because that analogy is there with the polio epidemic, we should learn from those lessons, even though this is something new, and so that we can be prepared to describe this moment in history.
Well said. Again, the Learning Center on the APTA website is where you can find all the modules from PACER, the ones that are created, the ones that are being created. And I'm sure some more titles will come out as this unprecedented, unpredictable situation starts to continue to unfold. Last thing we do on the show is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
That's your chance for a mic drop moment, a favorite quote, something that keeps you motivated in these strange times, brought to you by our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. What's a parting shot? Sharon, you can go first.
Aww.
What's something you hold near and dear? I mean, flexibility and being able to change. I think that's a great sentiment.
The only thing that's constant is change.
Nailed it. I mean, nailed it. That's it. That's your parting shot. That's perfect. Angela, what do you think? Your mic drop moment.
Yeah,
I'm
just going to follow up with some good old Winston Churchill that just said, whenever you're going through hell, just keep going.
Wow. I did not prepare these guys for the parting shots. And you just pulled out some two great ones that fit very, very well. Learning Center and the APTA website. Let's give a nod to the Twitter accounts for your components. Sharon, what do you guys use?
APTA Acute Care.
And we're at APTA CVP.
Yeah, love when the good information gets shared very, very rapidly as Sharon goes to her phone to make sure that that's the right Twitter handle that we're sharing.
Yeah, APTA Acute Care, it is.
Perfect. You had it. Thank you guys so much. We know how much we now know how valuable time is, I think, when so much comes onto our plate. So thank you guys for taking a half hour out of your time to share and for doing all this work. Because when these people take these courses, you know, a lot of work, organization and putting together some resources that went into it. So kudos on you and all the different people that we mentioned today. And I'm sure many people that we didn't mention today.
And if anyone has ideas, if anyone's got something that they think is a burning thing that they need addressed, please reach out on Twitter and let us know. And we'll try our best to make that happen.
Well, yes, and it.
Yeah. And I'm going to yes and just say I have to give shouts out to Talia Pollack. She's our education chair. She has been working behind the scenes just to really help support all these people to make this happen. So thank you, Talia.
Perfect. We'll have you guys back on. I mean, there's no, I mean, it is Cinco de Mayo. We're doing Margs and Ghost Margs and Coronas. No reason we can't do this in a couple of weeks as an update to see as Pacer and whatever comes after that progresses. So thank you guys so much for your time and effort in really progressing the profession, what it needed to be progressed very, very fast.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to do it.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Can't thank Aureus Medical Staffing enough. They've been our longtime supporter of the show since the beginning. The only reason I work with them is this. They've got a great mission, getting PTs to do what they want, which is be a physical therapist, wherever they want. Yeah, travel PT. It's a thing. And they're the leading expert. Super easy to work with them. You decide where you want to be a physical therapist. Short-term assignment, long-term assignment. Listen, you want to do winters in Colorado and summers at the beach? Yes, you can do that. So check out what they have to offer. They have positions in all 50 states. If you can dream it, they can set it up and you be a physical therapist where you want to work. Listen, it's your career. You have a license to practice physical therapy. Do that wherever you want. AureusMedical.com. That's the website. No obligation, just to check out all the possibilities. AureusMedical.com.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.